Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're at Fadley's. We're at the new Fadley's. My guest has been at the old Fadley's with me. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I've been giving away so many of these Pac-Man scratch-offs that I don't have one just yet. Well, I just got them today, and everybody loves Pac-Man. You know that. Maryland Lottery brings us here. We'll be here 2 weeks from today with Luke Tharoor Vigneraj. We'll be here. We're having other mayor candidates as well. Sheila Dixon is here, former mayor. So it's crazy because, like, traffic's been a little nuts tonight. We got Jackson Holliday down here. So you're a couple minutes late getting here, and I'm talking to people and fans and whatnot. We had Shannon Sneed here. I had Luke here. We talked about the new Fadley's. And right before you walk in, Kiefer Mitchell walks in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, hey, Keith, what's up? How you doing? You come by, and he's like, Madam Mayor. And, you know, Mueller always told me that I have to always refer to all electeds by he has to be county executive. I'm like, you've been Don to me since 1982. Mr. Mueller to me then. But, like, how many people call you Madam Mayor? How many people call you Sheila?
You know, it's interesting because it's a mix. There are people who are in the political arena will call me Madam Mayor.
Forever. You get that for life.
Oh, I'm called the mayor forever. My forever mayor. Or I'm called Sheila. Or I'm called Miss Dixon. Or I'm called Sheila Dixon.
You've been called all sorts of things, but you know this.
I have.
Where are you? How you doing? I mean,
I'm good.
You keep at this.
Well,
and
when you...
People ask me about you, right?
Yeah, do they?
And like, well, I lived in the city for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So voted for you, voted against you, had you on the show.
Yeah.
But you're relentless, man. I mean, I just tell you.
I wasn't going to get into this race this time. I really wasn't. I love my private life.
I'm shocked.
I love what
I'm doing. That you're doing this.
I had a lot of people. Well, first of all, I try to work with the current mayor, Mayor Scott. I really did try to advise him, try to work with him, even suggested when his city administrator left, Chris Shorter, hey, I would love to come in and get these agencies straight. If you give me the authority to do that, I would love to have been a part of that. But he made another choice. And I just felt that things weren't not going in the right direction. You know, I don't have a criticism against the people who work for him because everybody's good people. But people, so many agencies are dysfunctional. You know, you might have...
Well, trash. Let's start with trash, right?
Well, look how long it took to get...
Yeah, here you go, brother. Take.
Look how long it took to get the recycling back. I would have, during COVID, yes, we maybe needed to order new trucks and things, but I would have had a private company come in and partner. Actually, one of my clients ended up partnering with the city to pick up the trash during COVID. But every agency is dysfunctional, and people want good quality service. People want a safe city. Crime has gone down a little bit, and I contribute that to a lot of factors. I contributed to, in 2023, we had a new state's attorney who said, bring your toothbrush. We have a federal prosecutor who said, hey, if we can't get you this way, we're going to be getting you another way. And then the mayor's effort.
Is that good?
It is a good thing. And it's not about just locking up everybody, but most violent offenders who are committing these murders, guns, that on our street, Baltimore should not be where we are today. And quality of life crime. When you walk out of your door in the morning to go to work and your car is stolen, you know, that's an issue because that's an impact on a person and their family. And that's why I supported Ivan Bates for state's attorney. And that's why I support the citation dockets because it's not about locking up, but it's about, hey, if you're going to commit these low-lying crimes, then you're going to have to pay the consequences and be accountable. And so if it might mean if you're loitering out in a neighborhood like on Pennsylvania Avenue, North Avenue and Bloomingdale and Poplar Grove, and it's trash all up and down there, and there's young men that are there day in and day out. I drive by there every day to go to the gym or to go to my office. Those individuals will be getting a citation, but they'll also be cleaning up that community over there. And then they'll realize, hey, I don't need to hang out here. Let me get what I got to get from the store and let me go either to school or go to work or go do something because that deters and takes away from the community. And people, that's what most people are concerned about. People, I meet with seniors, older adults. They don't want to go out even during the day or in the evening. People shouldn't live in fear.
Well, I left the city 2 years ago and not on purpose. I left because my place sold. And, you know, for me, the notion that people would leave the city because they're fearful. I didn't leave for any of those reasons. It's not where my
people
head
is. People have different
reasons. I left because we didn't have outdoor space. My wife wanted to grow a garden, literally.
You could have grown a garden in the city. We could have given you a plot, a land.
I'm in the city right now. I'll be here Sunday for the game. I'm in the city 3-4 days a week. I love the city. It's not that I wouldn't move back, but for me, the crime part of it and the perception once I get to the county and say, you're going to the game tonight, you're going down to CFG Bank Arena, it's a concert, you want to see Usher, you want to see Janet Jackson, you want to see the Eagles, see Bruce, whatever it is, I don't go to the Trump voter says I don't go to the
Well, it's not just the Trump voter.
I don't know that we get that person. You know what I mean? The Fox 45 person, that's a different person.
But there are people who now don't come into the city because they have businesses and restaurants in Baltimore County and other parts of the county where
they found other ways to go.
Yes.
Places to go. Right, right.
But we need them to come back
to
the city.
Well, you can only see the Orioles here. You can only see Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Correct.
You can only see Billy Joel here.
Correct.
You have to come in here to
yes.
do that.
Well, you do, but you could go to another arena in another city.
Well,
but I do support the arena here.
I will honestly say this, and I'll say this to Brandon whenever I saw him 2 weeks ago. I think the city has gotten better the last couple of years, better since I left it, quite frankly. But, I mean, COVID was a special circumstance.
It was.
In so many ways.
But during COVID.
And then after Freddie Gray. Yeah. Freddie Gray, Trump, and COVID, that was... we got the Key Bridge. We'll get to that
But the Freddie Gray incident that happened should not have taken us to the level of violent crime that has happened in the city. And then COVID, when Mayor Scott said when he was elected, he was going to drop crime 50% every year. For those years, crime got out of control. But we were all home. So why would you think that crime would go down? Crime is going down nationally. But I believe that quality of life, what impacts people in their neighborhood, is what is causing people to say, I'm picking up, I'm leaving. Our schools, young families will start off in Baltimore City, but when their kids get of school age, if they can't afford a private school, they're going to go to Howard County, Anne Arundel County, other counties. Baltimore County now is questionable because of what's happening at some of their schools, the violence and unsafetiness, but education is another fact, and that's, as a former educator, I believe that we've got to get a handle on our young people because that's where opportunities happen. When you're in school and work with those families, that's where the change can happen for individuals, even if they're in an impoverished community. Education is the key, and as mayor, and I appoint 7 of the school board members, it's important to be engaged and involved. We have a mandate. It's by law, the state law, where we have to contribute X amount of dollars. And we would want to. So it's not something where the mayor is doing this on his own. This is a mandate from the state. But we have to be engaged and involved with our education system, with families, with young people, and try to focus on things that we can do to help. And I believe in community schools where we create partnerships. So there's a lot of things, but we got to clean up the city. You know we're the dirtiest city in America?
Why do you say that?
It's based on the number of complaints that go to 311. It's based on the dumping that takes place. It's based on neighborhoods that are filthy, dirty. I mean, you go to other cities, you can go to other counties, and you see a difference in that. So we have to step up to provide quality service to our constituents because we pay high taxes in this city. We pay high taxes. We individuals who don't necessarily own a home contribute to piggyback tax, but we need them to know that we're going to meet their needs and provide the kind of quality services.
Sheila Dixon is our guest. We're at Fadley's, the new Fadley's. It's beautiful in here, right?
I mean, yeah, it is.
So we talk about things getting better in the city. This is, this isn't an area and a place that things are that are getting better. And for you to run against Brandon and say you want to do things differently. Give me 2 or 3 things that you would manage differently. We talked about trash and recycling, but crime and youth crimes and all the prosecution part of all of that and bringing kids back out on the street that are committing crimes of 13, 14, 15, what we do with their parents. But where are you with Brandon?
So number
you're running. You want to change
so
things.
So number one, city employees are not back to work. And one of the ways to get people to be interactive, not by just emails, but people need to be back to work who work for city government. And we need the kind of assistance to our constituent so they understand that those who work for city government, they work for the taxpayers. So to be able to leave a message or to email and somebody gets back to you 3 weeks from now when you have a dying issue that needs attention, you know, you shouldn't have to go through your council person. You should be able to contact that agency if it's a water bill issue or whatever the issue is.
Pothole,
get it resolved. So it's about management. It's about attracting. And that I had a reputation of having a good team of people who worked with me. You know, go back to the schools. I want to create more community schools where we look and assess the schools and determine what the needs are. And then we partner with our nonprofit community and our business community to bring those resources into school. I believe we need to extend the school day so that young people can get that extra tutorial support that's needed. Or in the evening, that guardian or parent might need to take some computer classes or need training themselves.
What's the whole wraparound thing that's so important?
But it's quality wraparound,
right.
Yes. And in working with those families, we shouldn't pass a child until they master the skill. And everyone learns differently. You know, a lot of young people that are out here committing some of these carjacks, et cetera, it's a truancy issue. They're not in school. Nobody's guiding them. We can talk about wraparound service, but what kind of quality service? So third thing that I would do, I would assess all the different programs, because we have a lot in Baltimore City that people can take advantage of. So when people say we don't have this and that, we have everything we need. But it's a matter of assessing it, determining what's working and what's not, and building on that.
Sheila Dixon is here. She's running. Give everybody the lowdown. Shannon left some stuff back here. Early ballot, 2 to 9 of May. Election day is the 14th. Yeah. We'll make sure everybody knows when
and
the election is.
A lot of people are doing mail-in ballots as well.
I'm a mail-in guy lately.
Yeah.
Don Moeller got me into that. He talked me
I was over since COVID, I'm a mail-in person as well. And that's important. So, but we got a presidential election. We have a senatorial election, we have a congressional election, and we have the local election. But for me, it's how do we not only motivate people to be more engaged and involved in the process, and I have a good reputation of doing that, on top of quality of life crime and partnering with the state's attorney and other public safety entities. It's also about how do we get our neighborhoods and communities engaged with city government? Because we have to represent everybody in the city, not one segment or another. Everybody as mayor, you have to represent. And you have to be that cheerleader. You have to be that one that motivates and provide that kind of support to show people that we're in this together and we're going to work. And my ultimate goal is I want to set systems in place that are effective, that are working, and that 10 years from now, whoever's around, they will see that they could build on this and that we're not talking about the same issues that we are talking about today.
Are we talking about the same issues back when you ran and back when your transgressions? It's the same city, right?
It's the same issues.
When people talk good about you, when people they talk about your management, and obviously transgressions, and you're always trying to get the faith of people back, and I'll give you that opportunity to say, hey, you didn't vote for me the last time. Why would I vote for you this time?
Right.
But there are a lot of people, and I've seen it through the city, endorsing you, who last time around said, I like Sheila, but we're not going to vote. We did that before.
Yep.
That now are on your team.
Yes.
That have come back to you.
Yeah.
I find that to be an interesting thing just from the county watching it. I haven't talked to some of these electeds, but a lot of people are endorsing you lately. What do you make of that? For your reputation and for what's happened over the last 4 years or 8 years, that you've won them over. You've won some people.
Well, I think it's a combination thing. I think people have gotten to know who I am as a person. People respect the fact that when I did manage city government through a recession, a historic recession, with hardly any money, but we were able to build a lot. And I'm humbled that people are not looking back and looking at some of the mistakes, but they know that I can move the city forward in a way with a vision, but also implementing that vision in a timely manner, in a way that we'll see results sooner than later.
And the trust part.
I know I have to gain the public's trust back, and I'm going to be transparent. You know, when you make a mistake, you learn from that mistake. and you build on that, and you, so I know I have to be transparent. I mean, I know I have to be truthful in everything that goes on. I want to make sure city government is transparent, because right now it's not. There are a lot of things that go on in city government. You could, the Condor deal that the mayor pushed through, that wasn't a transparent process. We gave away to BG&E what we could have done just like we've done in the past. Yes, we know that the conduits need to be, we need to capitalize on building those conduits, but what we've done in the past is we increased the conduit fees, because that's one of the areas in the city that we own. But to just give it away and not be transparent about it and not have discussions with the city council or the board of estimates, something's wrong with that. I can go point by point about where this current mayor hasn't been transparent. I mean, where has he been for 3 years? Now, all of a sudden, we get a press conference, we press release every week on something that he's doing. You got to, even during COVID, you still have to make the city run effectively while you're dealing with other issues as well. We had a lot of our hospitals that stepped up, and the truth be told, who actually provided the support for the city with COVID vaccinations and other things, where I thought the health department had been doing that. But it was actually the hospitals amongst themselves came together, said, we got to do this. We got to step up and work, because it wasn't coming out of the health department. And the last thing that I focus on as mayor, because we have great institutions in this city. We're number one in cardiovascular. We're number one, along with PG County, in dementia and Alzheimer's. Health, for me, is probably one of the biggest factors that could just change what we're doing here in this city. And that's an area that I've always pushed, and I'm going to continue to push that area to figure out how we can address lead, diabetes, you know, cardiovascular. All of these are factors that if we have a healthy city, many of the challenges that we face, I think, would be eliminated.
And we got bike lanes. Maybe get people on them.
Well,
right.
Yeah, because a lot of people are not riding the bike lanes that we have. We got more bike lanes, but people aren't on the bike lanes.
I saw them over by Morgan State because I was over at Coco's a couple weeks ago doing a show, and I saw trash in the bike lanes, and I'm like, oh, God, it's another place we can make a mess here. Sheila Dixon's here. Inner Harbor. You've seen, I mean, you know, we're sort of the same age. We remember it being open. We remember it going into receivership. I lived across the street from there. You know, I bought a condo. I lost $250,000 owning a condo for 20 years in the city.
Wow.
So I took a bath in my biggest investment of my life, right? So that's a reason I was going to run for mayor 4 years ago, which began all of this, right? I have so much respect for you and for Shannon, for all of you who are running. Put yourself out there in this way. The Inner Harbor thing. Give me soup the nuts on that, because had you been the mayor, that would have wound up on your desk at that
it
time.
Would, it would.
And it's a problem that needs to get solved.
Yes, it does.
It's an opportunity.
And David Bramble has bought the properties on in the Inner Harbor, because it did go on receivership, and the city owns the land, and the voters will be able to vote in November. I strongly believe that, I don't know if we need 900 apartments at the Inner Harbor, because I want it to be a mix. I want it to be something that will attract tourists. I want it to be something that will attract people from the region, as well as city residents, to come down and enjoy. I think there needs to be a compromise. Maybe less, maybe 450 apartments with all the other amenities that are going to attract people to the Inner Harbor. But people have the choice in November to determine if they want it to go in the route that it's going to go or not. I just hope and pray that the developer, David Bramble, will look and hear not only the concerns that people have, but try to balance what we do there. Because for me, if you go two blocks over, you lost money in the condo you bought. If you go over Lombard, Redwood, Calvert, Baltimore, that area is dead. It's nothing but a lot of vacant properties, closed restaurants. So when we talk about downtown, we need to have that vision to cover those areas as well.
First day in office, if you get elected, and there's certainly a good chance, I mean, you know, I've read the polls, that you can be back in that seat. You waited a long time to get back there. We talked about trust and problems and your reputation. You might be back in that chair again. What's the first couple things you're going to do if you're the mayor?
Hey, the first couple things that I'm going to do is, one, reach out to all the employees and say, hey, we got to come back 5 days a week. We need people to be in downtown. If you work in City Hall or 417, in the Benton Building, or if you work in the War Memorial Building, we need people back to work.
Serving the citizens, right?
Serving the citizen, answering the phone, opening the doors for people to come down to be able to get a permit and not have to work 6 months
the
or a year.
The permit thing. We're in Fadley's. Every person I know that opens any business in the city, I'm waiting on permits.
I have a whole team of private sector people who are going to help me reconfigure what has to happen.
Nothing attracts business more than you. I can't get open.
Thank you. And they, in itself, that's a money-generating department. Need to be open, not somebody's not going to be in the office till 3 weeks from now. So I'm going to go around and meet with the city employees and all the departments and really have a conversation. From your perspective, I don't know how long you've been working here, what things do you see we could do to improve upon? I did that. I will do that again in every department. What can we do? I know salary is an issue. If there's some things that we can do to upgrade people's salary, we're going to do that. That's probably going to be the first thing that I do, is go around and meet with city employees to let them know what my vision is, what I'm expecting from city employees, and what I am not going to expect as far as trying to, because that's a big complaint that I hear across the board. So that would be the first thing.
I guess in regard to you having been in that chair, there's a real benefit to knowing what that job entails. Like, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning two Tuesdays ago. I was in Florida. There's Brandon. There's Johnny O. There's Fire Chief.
Highway Bridge.
5:30 in the morning. They're Francis down there. You know what that's like to get that call in the middle of the night. Yeah. Something's happened. Murder. Something's on fire. I mean, all that. For you to be out of that chair, having assessed the whole worldview, you've worked in the private sector. Why are you? I'll go back to the beginning. Why are you doing this? I know you think you can win, that's a good reason to do it.
I love the people of the city. I love what we can do to really move the city in a direction, and that we don't. When we look back, people will come to Baltimore to figure out how we were able to do certain things in this city as relates to public safety, as relates to education, as relates to cleaning up this city, as relates to developing and enhancing our neighborhoods and communities to create home ownership opportunities for all income individuals. And so all of that, and then managing and being that cheerleader so that we can attract businesses back to the city and create the kind of environment in our school system where our young people can be educated, be exposed to different professions early on, so when they graduate, even if they don't go to college, that they have a plan of action.
Well, 4 years ago was murder rate, you know. Brandon's gotten that down, you know, so if that's the only number he's judged by, it's a better number for him.
Well, but
if you've been the mayor or somebody else, I mean, I don't know how
I got
much
the numbers
mayor,
down as mayor, but
how much the mayor can do about it.
But it was a partnership,
right,
between police, between state's attorney, between a federal prosecutor. All of these systems in the last year is what got those numbers down. And we can't lose sight of that. And that's how it has to happen. It's not one person. The police department didn't do that on its own. When they do those arrests, the state's attorney has a role and responsibility to prosecute. Same thing at the federal level. And so you have to give credit where credit is due. And so all of those levels, because I worked with a state's attorney and I worked with a federal prosecutor and I worked with the court system through the Criminal Coordinating Council, where we and juvenile justice and all of our agencies, where we all looked at the negatives and the positive and what we all needed to do to move things forward. The sheriff's department has some great ideas in order to support our police by working with the parades and not charging the city for that, or going into our parks and providing support security where we have a shortage of park rangers, or towing cars. They bought the sheriff's department bought a tow truck, because sometimes a car could stay in a neighborhood that needs to be towed away for months. He bought a tow truck, working with neighborhoods, being proactive when people are speeding or going through red lights.
There's a lot of that going on.
Right. The sheriff, the police commissioner just recognized this. This has been going on for a while. People running through red lights, people speeding. You know, the sheriff's department was proactive and went in the neighborhood and set up the speed, you know, those speed.
Well, I mean, I would see the motorcycles roll through here every Sunday.
Well, that's another issue.
That's got to stop. I mean, we can't be a great city with that's happening.
No, we can't.
I felt that way.
That just happened on Monday when we had a nice day out.
It pissed me off every time I lived down in the city thinking, if we can't solve that, you can't solve brazen lawlessness, then we have a real problem. Youth crime and prosecution and parents, where are you on that? Because I had Ivan on. I've had other people on that. That's a sticky, thorny issue for everybody.
It is, but it all depends on what the crime is. And what we need to do is those young people that are committing these nuisance crimes, car thefts, and other crimes within neighborhoods, we need to get with them, their family, and we need to get with juvenile services, and we need to look at what kind of programs are available but are effective that we can work with that family and that young person. You know, because it's not about locking them up. But there is something missing while they're committing these crimes. So what can we do to support? Because we can't be their parents. We can't be their guardian. But we can provide support to work with that family, particularly if that mother or that guardian is crying out for someone to help.
And can't solve the problem themselves,
yes.
The parent. Sheila Dixon is here. She's running for mayor. I got the dates here. Vote early, the 2nd through the 9th, and election day is the 14th. You got to send your mail-in ballot in by the 14th as well. Anything else? Closing statements? I mean, I want to make sure I try to cover all of these pieces. It's fun with the Orioles being back. It's fun being downtown. I see traffic out here. I see people. The weather's about to break. We know crime goes up when the weather gets a little better as well. But these next couple of weeks, running to the finish line here for...
Hey,
it's not the general, but it's the most important election.
Yes, it is. Yeah. For Baltimore, it is.
Yeah.
And for me, we are touching voters in every part of Baltimore City. I still do door-to-door canvassing. We have commercials running on TV. Of course, you have to raise money, which none of us like, but we have to. And so we're doing everything possible to reach every community. Tomorrow I'll be canvassing. I have a housing forum. I'm meeting with the Hispanic and Latino community.
You're already doing that. I'm part of the Hispanic Latino community.
Yeah, I'm meeting one. I'm meeting with another group later on in the evening in the Medfield group with Bob Cherry, who's a police officer who lives in Medfield, who's supporting me. So I'm doing meet and greets. Sunday we are going down to the Union Hall to support the efforts of the workers at the port, as well as those families who lost their loved ones in the Key Highway.
I'm a Dundalk guy. I think that's my bridge, right?
Yeah,
we all think of Dundalk. We think it's our bridge.
No. And if you're a Dundalk person.
There have been some tears the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I talked to Johnny O's folks about the peninsula down there and being trapped and the businesses down there. You know, we got a lot of issues here.
We do. And the port is significant. To number one in importing cars and in paper. Domino Sugar relies on those raw. So I think the governor is doing a tremendous job in coordinating all these efforts. And I think having that military background because of this disaster has significant. We still have to find those other individuals so that those families can bring closure to their lives. And then we got to work at the federal level to make sure that the president provides that money that's going to be needed sooner than later so we can lock that down for the key bridge.
And get that thing built as soon as possible so we can get things back to normal.
Yeah.
I know it's not going to be a minute
or
a week.
No, that's not, but we got to open up those channels in the meantime.
Well, if you win the mayorship, maybe 4 years from now we'll have something that looks like a bridge over there by the end of it.
Hey,
good luck to
you
as always.
I
always appreciate you coming out, facing the music, talking to the people. And I appreciate the passion you have for the city. I mean, I don't think anybody can question. They can question anything they want about you.
Yeah.
But you care. You show up. You're here. And you're trying to be a voice in lifting the city.
Yes, I am.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate you having
All right. Sheila Dixon joining
you.
Madam Mayor. I have to call you. Don will get mad at me if I don't call you that.
Oh.
We're giving these out. We got the Pac-Man giveaways here. We're going to be giving these out 2 weeks from now. We're going to be at Greenmount Station on the 24th up in Hampstead. That's Wednesday. We're talking about the horse racing industry. And then on the 26th, Friday, we're back here with Luke Jones. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. Back for more from Fadley's right after this.